Hey, welcome to Joel Fleischman Happy Hour Podcast, episode number 78. Here with Everett Dean and Andy Rettler. Cheers, guys. Happy Hour.
Cheers. Cheers.
Happy Hour.
Drexel Horse Medicine, still not drinking for Lent. Ooh. And I'm drinking the Blue Door Root Beer. First taste, Everett. Andy, what's your thoughts?
The horse medicine, I've had it a few times, and I do like it. What do you got there? The root beer? The Blue Door root beer?
Root beer's good.
It's good. Sea Sport cream is good too. Highly
Cream's
recommend.
Better. I think the cream, black cherry, highly underrated.
A little sweet, the cherry for me, but root beer and the cream, I will sign off.
Oh, that's just really good. That's really good. Well, welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to be talking today, everyone's favorite episode, probably the all-time watched episode, Marcus. We're talking about estimators. Material list providers that we like to use. And I love that because an estimate is just a ballpark number of material list providers, but we really try to specialize in here. Mm-hmm. We've been doing estimates for 35 years here at Drexel, and they've never been more confusing, harder, but better. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Everett is a recent new leader. So we thought we'd come aboard and, like, what are the changes? What we got working on? Let's just start with your background, Everett. Andy, we'll start there. Speed this thing up after that.
Yeah, personally, a little bit of my background. Been married to my wife for about 5 years, a little over 5 years.
Shout out to
Hallie.
Hi, Hallie.
So, we have a lovely 1.5-year-old daughter. Shout out to Bria.
Hi, Bria.
And a 3-year-old golden doodle. Love those three to death.
Named
Lambo.
Whoa, that's deep.
Yeah, so that is a little bit about myself. Work-wise, graduated high school in 2015 and decided to join the United States Navy. Did 4 years active duty.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Did 4 years active duty, stationed on the USS America LHA 6 out of San Diego, California. Now they're forward deployed out of Japan. So pretty exciting stuff. Loved San Diego, every bit of it. Weather, 70 and sunny every day. So that was a really cool experience. Got to meet a ton of awesome people.
Why did you come back?
That's the million-dollar question everyone asks.
Love.
My wife.
girl problem?
She's very close to their family. I'm very close to their family. So.
She's a high school sweetheart or what?
Yeah.
You made it through the Navy and everything.
Yep. I went to Kewaskum. She went to Camel Sport. So we met my senior year of high school, and things just worked out. So.
Yeah, San Diego's great. I was there for a cup of tea once for about 48 hours. I was there for a week with my family, but I was there with Sean Connell, no longer here in Florida. It's all the Costco corporate headquarters. So
yeah,
it's the real deal, right? 300 days of sunny weather and 70 degrees, right?
Yeah. LHA 6, it's an amphibious assault ship. So primary objective is to troop transport, move all the Marines where they need to go. Did a deployment to the Middle East and Asia. So really cool stuff, like I said before.
What was your job on that?
I was aviation bosun's mate handler. So
English terms?
To put that in regular terms that you'd understand, pretty much a shipboard firefighter and launch and recovery of aircraft. So aircraft come on board, you got kind of three tiers: blue shirts, red shirts, yellow shirts. Blue shirts, chalk and chain basically all those aircraft to the deck so they don't fly off the ship. Red shirts are crash and salvage, so they just kind of respond to if a jet or something, one of the engines would start on fire, they would respond immediately because some of those jets would have bombs on it. They all have different cook-off times. And yellow shirts, just like in Top Gun, launch and recover those aircraft. So,
and which one were you?
So everyone starts off at a blue shirt, and then you kind of work your way up the tier, yellow, red. I kind of dabbled a little bit in both, and actually all three. So,
interesting.
Yeah,
Andy.
Hi.
For those that don't know you.
Yes, Andy Rettler. Been with Drexel for, 7 years. by way of computer programming from UW Oshkosh, the Harvard of the Midwest. Thank you, UW Oshkosh, for all of my knowledge and life lessons. Appreciate that. Yep. Highly recommend it for you young kids thinking about going to school. UW Oshkosh, solid place.
I'm surprised we actually don't have a pennant in here from UW.
Yeah. I never was into the gear of the Titans.
Same. I think I was wearing Florida Gators gear more than I was UW Oshkosh gear back in the early 90s, in the late 1900s.
I had some strong Maryland Terps.
I had some Running Rebs gear from the UNLV.
Oh, I never went Running Rebs. I would have, but I was I
Tark the Shark fan. Yeah. Shout out Tarkanian.
Sorry to interrupt you.
So.
I had a Kentucky hat for a while, big K, white and blue.
Did some sales and financial analytics at a big corporate firm called Rexnord Industries down in Milwaukee for a little while. Found my way here. Don't even remember the story, really. Just recommendations from friends and knowing people in the community, I guess. But most recently, I've done a lot of things here. I've done pricing. I've been a merchant. Scheduled trusses for a month or two up in Little Chute. Tried to help run Campbellsport. I think it was more a deterrent than a help, though, for a month or two down there, amongst other, a lot of other special projects within the organization. Now I oversee all of our lumber yards. So we have six of those. And most recently ran the MLP department, which Everett just took over, and he's doing a fantastic job, by the way. Did that for about 5-6 weeks.
So let's do a history lesson. This would be kind of fun, if you're into that. Right, so what, you know, when I started, estimates were, it's the early 90s, estimates were basically done by hand. I learned them, you learned them by somebody teaching you what that already knew how to do it. And then there was a class, which is still exists, I think I almost ran by the same guy, that they would send you to for a day. And you learned some in and outs of that. Also, where it's complicated, that's a fact. Less options, that's a fact. But you did that by hand. You just took the blueprint, actually had to print that off at the, what was that? Horrible smell.
Carbon paper?
Blue, ended up being blue. You pour it in. The smell, formaldehyde, I don't know, I'm using the wrong term, that's not it. I'll think of it, you had to smell, you had to dump this stuff in.
It was like blue carbon paper, right?
Yeah, well, the paper was white, and then you had to dump this stuff in, and then it just, you like put light over it, and then that's how it darkens. So sometimes it'd be really dark, sometimes it'd be really light, it's just a nightmare. So you learn how to do that, you printed off a copy of them.
Which is why they're called blueprints, probably. Right?
Yeah, that's right, they were called blueprints. I had to learn how to do that. You got your blueprint, you just started taking out measurements, and there was two ways you could do it. Like, one, if you were an ex-builder, you literally kind of built it in your head. The way I did it was all formula-based, right? Because I just knew this angle and that angle was just all math, and you started taking all those notes by hand. And then you had a little template on your right, or left, I was left-handed, and that was from how the list was prepared. Down in, and that was also your checkbox to make sure that was like the perfect bit, if you will, and you just had a check mark to make sure you didn't miss anything. And that was it. And then we had a little, as we got bigger, we started a little notepad and wrote down all the bids that were due when they came in, salesman's name. Then we had started a due date. You just start grabbing off the pile, working through that. Red Knights was their only estimator. I helped out with Frank Gitter sat next to him, spit them out, and a lot of the salesmen did it themselves. A lot of times the salesmen would take the blueprints home, do the estimates by themselves by hand, and get that over to the builder. Then you would put pricing on. You'd use your little price book, 3-ring binder, you'd price everything out. You'd actually manually add that all up. Then I brought computers here and around the year 2000. I showed them what a spreadsheet looked, and it manually added them up. Instead of type in all the descriptions, put in the price, and then the spreadsheet added it up, and then eventually we dumped it into Spruce, which is our computer software, and would actually take it from there. And you'd actually give that to what we call the secretaries, Chris Ballard, hi Chris, or my mom, hi mom, and she would actually, they would be bids due, so you'd do the bid by hand, put it in there by SKUs, they would type up the SKUs, which would provide the pricing, they'd hand it back to the salesman. That was kind of the start of the many layers, right, many faceted layers. That's changed obviously quite a bit. Software called PlanSwift, now we have software called MyTech, and our lead times actually, which is crazy, back then our lead times were probably 5 to 6 days. It takes actually longer now to get a lead back with all the computer software and all the people we have than it ever has. Part of it is the complexity, part of it is I don't know why, Because by hand was always just a few, 4, 5, 6 days, I'd get back to the builder. But a lot of salesmen had to do it all by hand. And a lot of times that was nights, weekends, coming in early because you had to find time to do those takeoffs. The great part was when you shipped it, you remember doing the takeoff and you could see it right in your head.
For the duration of the project.
Yeah,
not
right.
Not just when you bid it. Like.
Yeah, no, as the guys called you and said, hey, why are you sending these 2x8s? You're like, let me bring out the blueprint, let me look. You're like, yep, I did note that. This is what I was thinking. What were you thinking? And they're kind of building it in your head. So was that header carried, header calcs were all done ahead of time because you did that all when you did the bid. But header calcs weren't really needed. Houses weren't that big. Everything got 2x10 headers, right? That was just standard garage. And then if it was a garage, it was a 11 7/8 header, and maybe it was over-engineered, whatever. That's what you sent out. So that's kind of how it worked. So Everett now, how many people do you have now working with you?
26.
26 full-time people. This is what they do every day.
Yes.
Kind of.
Kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
What do you mean kind of?
So we got 26 estimators. Three of those are offsite.
I love the term virtual builders.
Virtual
Why
builders.
Isn't that stuck?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Do we just have to make it more a priority?
I think so.
If I'm Ty Cook, shout out to Kai Cook, right? I'm trying to find a girlfriend, which you should, Ty.
Great
honestly.
Dude.
Great dude.
Absolutely.
Ladies.
If you're
He's
out there
a 22-year-old guy, right,
smart
Ty?
Smart guy. Nice guy.
Good at basketball.
I would rather be a virtual builder than an estimator. Builder a little far. Good basketball player a little far.
fundamentally sound.
Fundamentally sound. Balcuzzi. Bob Cousy. So Ty Cook plays basketball. Is it Wednesday at 5 a.m.?
5 a.m.
And he does not. He is a 22-year-old guy, but he passes way more than he shoots and takes mid-range set jump shots quite often.
And that, plays incredible defense.
He guarded me 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to quit. I just wanted to get some shots off, and he just would run
you
through every
about
screen.
A jump stop, pivot, boxing out. All the fundamental stuff, right? Locked dribbling down. With your head up.
Not to mention he's
retreat
almost
retreat dribble.
Not like, to mention he's almost a third of my age.
Yep. There's that.
There's that.
Locked so when you're picking down. Teams, he's the guy you want. He's a glue guy.
He's
no,
glue
I
guy.
Don't. No, I would never want him.
I'd take him.
No, Cousy, I don't want you. He passes like 7 times. He passes up 3 good looks.
Him and I'd be perfect. Nobody would ever shoot.
You're the 22-year-old dude. Check it up, brother. Oh, he drives me nuts. But I would rather be a virtual builder looking for breaking what I do than an estimator. And I think it's actually more true, because you are actually virtually building those plans. I think we have our entire department really is virtual builders, from the truss designers to our offsite designers to our MLPs, which are the specialized within the virtual building arena, because you are literally virtual building.
I'm glad you brought that up, because over the past few weeks, a lot of people say, well, it didn't take this long that long ago, or this is how it used to work, or this can't be that complicated. You can actually see where every stick goes. The materialist team is not just doing formulas. They're modeling the house and say, every stick, everything I have in this bid, that's exactly where it goes.
Also, like when people say that, the history people, what do you want to call them? The historical people that kind of sometimes go dark and negative, right? The average plan now would have been the most complicated plan we did all spring.
Did you do any barn dominiums back then?
We might have even refused to bid it. Ron Neitzel didn't do complicated plans. He was our expert. But he would moan and grind his teeth and sometimes pull his hair out, literally. And they would take a week and a week and a half to do. And he would say this, and he would just go, the guy's never going to build this. This is nuts. Why are we bidding this? You know, this is insane. This is crazy. That wasn't our specialty. You know, we say we're the better of the best now. We really specialize in the local homes being built in the 90s locally. They were really the better homes. They were starter homes and a bit up. And they were some nice homes for sure. But we didn't get into 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 square foot houses, covered porches. The way homes are built now are much more complicated. An expensive truss job might be 5,000 or 6,000 back then. They're much more expensive now. They're complicated homes.
Now, I know what you're thinking, Marcus. You're going, well, Andy, you just said we know everything goes, we draw it out. Why are they not 100% accurate all the time? That's what you're thinking, right? So we probably should talk about that a little bit, too, because we have some improvement to do in the accuracy of our bids, right?
Absolutely. And
I think what we've identified, and I'll let you speak on it more, is I think how we've trained our, and training is a big theme at Drexel as a whole, not just for MLPs. we're redesigning how we train people, going kind of back to our roots, being able to do a hand takeoff before you use any software. So we've got a little bit of a plan here coming up to really figure that out in more detail.
Give me your history of when you started in virtual building or estimating, back then estimating, to where we're at today, and a little bit of where you want to take it.
I started estimating in 2021. So it's been a year and a half or so.
And you started in operations, correct?
And I started in operations, yeah, part-time, back in 2019. So I've been with the company close to 4 years.
Is that straight out of the Navy?
Straight out of the Navy, yeah.
Jeez, stuck at a lumberyard in Camelsport.
No idea what
must
I was getting
be real love.
Into.
Must have been real love or is real love. Wow, good for you, Haley. Okay, anyways. Talk about rock bottom.
I will say that when I started,
you thought you were rock bottom.
I'll drink to that.
No, when I was doing my yard days, he was out in the yard, and he was like the happiest dude in the world, you know, as he is now. But
love, like, love,
it was love. Yeah. Jordan, love.
What else could it be?
He married a Wakusta girl.
All right.
Shout out Coosties.
Yeah.
So when I started estimating, I was, I think, the third virtual builder on MyTech. And so at that point, MyTech was very clunky, nowhere even close to what it was today. We put in a lot of time really dialing in and getting our estimates as accurate as possible and really training through that, making it easier so we as virtual builders could do it the most time efficiently. And so there's been a lot of work put into MyTech, and now where we're at today is we have different...
And by MyTech is like not a perfected software, right? Like you have to build it out,
right,
for it to perform how you want it to perform.
You still have to have knowledge of building and know where some of the materials are being used. And so like Andy kind of touched on before, when we originally started in MyTech, we really pushed the software versus doing it by hand, thinking that the software was going to be all set to go and we could just grind. And we found out really quickly that that wasn't the case. We still have to kind of start it like we used to back in 1985, and do it by hand, figure out how stuff is being calculated, why it's going there, what it's being used for.
So we kind of made a mistake.
Yeah.
We were leading with the software, leading our training with the software, and we didn't have great training then, right? It was really just train the trainer type thing.
Mm-hmm. Tribal knowledge.
Tribal knowledge. Worst case, which way to train, because you never know. Telephone tag, banana tag, tribal knowledge. So we didn't have it set up very clear. We were going fast. We were going too fast, really.
Mm-hmm.
We probably should have went slow to go fast, and we were just going really fast.
Yeah.
Looking back, shout out to Dan Evers, who has been helpful with that since day one.
And patient.
Mm-hmm. And patient and kind, and thank you, Dan, all the great things that Dan does for us on the research development team. So where are we at today?
Today, we are... currently,
come on in. I feel like you're going to be echoing on the mic. Okay, good.
Sounds good.
Marcus, you got to step up your game here. We got to get better prep earlier on.
What are those bars look? Were they good?
They're good. They're good.
Yeah, he's so nervous about Aaron Rodgers thing.
He's got the mixer board over there like he's some sort of DJ.
He's hitting refresh on the Twitter Aaron Rodgers feed every 3 seconds at this point. So.
Yeah, so we're at today with estimates. Currently, where our lead time is, I believe, 15 days. We're working really hard on bringing that down because, as you know, our lead times being 15 days was kind of made from us not being trained properly. And kind of drawing a blank here.
Well, you know, our builders feedback, we just had a builders roundtable and also just general builders feedback. Our builders, quote unquote, demand our lead time is
back to them in less than 10 days.
Right, so they'll give us 2 weeks. So at 15, we're not doing great. This is like a Friday fish fry, right? Doesn't mean they walk out the door, but I would say a Friday fish fry, I would say 30, 45 minutes, you're not going to lose many customers, right? I'd say somewhere around there.
Sure.
Well, what is it? What do you think? Friday fish fry. What do you think, Marcus? When do people start leaving?
Hour wait.
Probably hour, yeah.
Right, but I bet if you asked them, what do they expect? 15 to 30.
If you got room at the bar, it extends.
Yeah, but it's 15 to 30, hour I got to make a choice, over an hour.
Yeah, 45 minutes is kind of that,
And 15 days, I'd say, we're at that about that hour range. Mm-hmm. We're at about max, hey, it's an hour. You know, it's not great. Not great Friday fish fry. We're not dead yet. We're not at 2 hours where everyone just walks out. But we're not great. But we know we need to get to that 15, 30 minutes, which is at 8 days, which is about half, right? Or 45, 30. If we get to that 30, that's about that 8 day range. So we're about double that. So we're at about an hour, right? So we know we got to get it down.
Yeah.
And it really is like supply and demand. You only have so many bids, so many times, all work hours. How long does it take to do a full house?
Full house.
MLP. To your list. ML. To your list.
With all five categories, that being millwork, siding, roofing, all that good stuff, depending on the complexity of the house.
And you do not do the windows, you do not do the cabinetry, you do not do the flooring, they're separate departments.
Right. So if you're doing just a standard ranch, I would say a day, day and a half at the most.
Then right, so you're going to hit, one person's going to have 8 to 12.
12
hours. Mm-hmm. What about like a three bedroom ranch? It's got to be quicker than that.
Three bedroom ranch, minimum categories, probably four to six hours.
Yeah, it's just look at a half day. So actually doing it by hand, it's a wash.
Yeah.
We're not getting any efficiency.
Well, let's compare it for the historians. How many?
Not a historian, just the truth, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just it Drexel's history.
Yeah, if I could take a horse, walk, so, or take a car, if I can walk, I can walk faster.
And the Ron Knights, and we have QBs doing their own bids today still, right. Which is okay, right? Like, if it's getting them not to job site and visiting and being with customers, it's a problem. If they have enough capacity where they can do them, great, like please. However, we can get, how many, back when Ron was doing them, how many would we get in a week or a day?
Well, when I did them, it would take me probably, I could do a three bedroom ranch and I could probably do two a day, and then I could probably do one a day when it was bigger.
And I'm gonna guess the op, even just like a stair system today versus back then, it's got to be way more complex.
Yeah, but then sometimes it's just a three-bedroom ranch.
So, but volume-wise, how many? Right. How many? When you said you were at 5 days, what was the volume? How many would come in? 10 a week?
That's what I meant, 10 a week, right. Right.
So
right.
We had a stretch in February where we had 270 come in a three-week span.
Right.
And what do you do, right? But...
no, it's just, oh, it's a restaurant, right? You had the bus show up. Bus showed up with a bunch of kids, and here you go, right? You have to be prepared for that.
You have to be prepared for that. You have to be flexible, and you have to be, and we talk about balance a lot, right? We want to be a 40-hour work week company, but balance is balanced. If it's always just 40 hours, you're here, and that's not balanced. Sometimes the balance shifts to the company needs. Now, it better be temporary, though.
Are we hiring?
Yes, we have. How many open positions?
I believe four.
Come work for us. This sounds cooler than hell. Sounds cooler than hell to me. What kind of people should apply for this? Who are you looking for?
Looking at people that like to communicate. Communicating is a big part of our job, getting down to the nitty gritty on what we need for our quarterbacks and ultimately our builders.
Generic.
Yeah.
If you're an outgoing techie, kind of ish, right? Like if you like,
you know computers a little bit.
So I also do like an avatar. You know what an avatar is?
Yeah.
Like let's build an avatar. What is the perfect MLP, right? Like again, now you get like sexist and racist and ageist, but it's an avatar, right? So I think an ideal candidate is probably male or female. Age doesn't matter. Race doesn't matter, of course. But I think it is somebody that would love to play Minecraft all day.
Yeah.
Someone that probably grew up playing Legos or still plays with Legos. Shout out to Sarah Kane. Hope you're getting better. She's listening. She loves playing with Legos. Right? That's the kind of humans you're looking for, right? That they and they're comfortable at a computer for 8 hour stretches.
Yeah.
Also have a passion for construction. And even if it's not construction, you don't have to know construction. You have to be willing to learn construction. But you do have to like angles and houses. I think you got to be great at math.
Math, yes. Yeah.
You have to be really good at math.
If you love geometry.
You like geometry. Yeah, you like geometry. Can you picture?
You like playing pool?
Yeah, a little bit.
A lot of angles.
Yeah, and can you picture it in your head?
Yeah.
Again, can you virtually build it? Can you take it from a piece of paper and make it 3D? Does that kind of geek you out?
Yeah.
Some of the questions that I would ask in an interview, and if you're listening, if you think them are cool, The crazy part is I didn't, like, literally, I'm such an idiot when I was 30. I still am. When I was 30, I literally think those people didn't exist. Because I'm not that way. And then I, like, talk to people now, the 26 of you, right? Like, that's so cool. Like, you actually like this? You know, and I think my job's cool. And they're like, I would never want your job. I'm like, okay. Okay, everyone, God makes everybody different. So please apply. Very well paid. You got a great leader. Cool stuff going on here.
From Wrightstone to New Berlin, too, to Amherst, to Keough. Like, we have a lot of spots.
Off-site positions and trust design for, we've got that going on. You got, you know, it's the leading tech. I mean, it's the, nobody's doing this, right?
Right. A big thing that we're pushing right now is for our off-site jobs. Currently, we do them on the supply side and system side. We want to make that a one-stop shop. One person's handling the job, so they know the nitty-gritty, rather than kind of this game of telephone where we supply the panelized, supplies the loose list, just making that a one-stop shop. So it's just easy for the quarterback to get answers from who they need to get answers for, if the builder has a question. So
4 years ago, you didn't have a dog, you didn't have any kids, you weren't married, you were working part-time ops and just got out of San Diego.
Yeah.
All you had was Haley and the love of her.
Yeah.
Apparently. Whatever. Right? So that's 4 years ago. And then you got into estimating at that time. And we had PlanSwift, but you were this new MyTech guy, and it was clunky, and it was weird, and it was fast. COVID wasn't a thing yet. Just hit, I think, when you did estimate.
I think just hit. Yeah.
Right, but anyways, a lot has changed in 4 years, right? From when you started till now. Now you're the MLP leader of 26 people, right?
Yep.
When you started, how many people in MLP department was there?
Oh man, that's a hard question.
Ballpark.
Ballpark, maybe 16 to 18.
Right, so again, very growing department, right? Heavily growing. We do everything from hotels to apartment buildings to barn dominiums to pole sheds,
to a 30 by 30 garage.
Right. Where do you see this being under your tutelage in 4 years?
Under me, I feel that in the next 4 years, we can get those lead times down to 5-6 days.
So maybe on the spike, again, restaurants, Friday Fish Fry, we're going to sit you down, you're going to have your meal in 15 to 20 minutes. Still takes some time. I can't get it in zero time. On the spikes, we'll be at the half hour, 45 minutes range.
Yeah.
So I think what we've really identified over the past month, too, is this waterfall effect that we have, right? Where a bid comes in, a builder needs something, and it gets to the MLP team. Well, the rest of our specialist team with all those categories that Everett talked about, they're waiting for that to be done. And if we don't start an MLP world on day one, which doesn't happen based on, you know, volume at times, it might wait 2 or 3 days for someone to work on it. Everybody's waiting. But if we can concurrently work, everybody at Drexel concurrently working together, we can push that forward.
Do we know how many man hours it takes to do a standard house, which again, go back into Avatar, right? 3,200 square foot house, 4 bedrooms, right? Whatever. 3-car garage. I'm like, I know that house in my mind. That $3,200 house, what I used to call the old McMansions, other ones got them. How many man hours across all 5 categories? 6 and 7 categories, if you include flooring and cabinetry. And do you have any clue how many man hours it takes to get a bid together?
No.
Well, 12 on his end. I mean, we're talking 20 hours, trust design, trust.
It's a couple per category at least.
Right, so you're talking. So if you're walking in our door, and again, I think something we have to get better at Drexel, we have to make sure we're qualifying customers. If we're talking 20 man hours, times $50, which is fairly expensive.
I would say it's closer to 30 when it's all in with the quarterback and everybody involved to get a bid.
So 30 times minimally $50 of labor. That's probably low. It's $1,500 that we give for free, and we're underperforming. We're taking too long to get it done. But it's cost us $1,500 just to get a bid out on average. I think it's something we probably need to talk about more, that are we qualifying every estimate to come in here? Every person that wants a bid, are they actually going to order the food, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're just saying, I'm here for a drink, I want to see the menu, but that's costing us $1,500. Do we know that? Do we think about that? Does a builder say, hey, bid three jobs, I'll let you know. I'll bid one, maybe, if we keep talking, right? Because I think that's a big thing. I think that's a big thing. And I think even in 4 years, it's gonna be hard to get those man hours down a lot more, correct?
Correct.
All right, so your tutelage, your lead times are further down. What else has happened in 4 years? Again, 4 years is a long time.
Yeah, 4 years. I think, like I said, realistically, short-term goal is to make those offsite jobs a one-stop shop.
That seems like a no-brainer.
Man, you're hitting me with hard questions today. I think in 4 years, the other thing to really push is our design service, because with our design service, speaking my tech with Revit, our design service program that we're currently using, if you do a Drexel drawn design, within 4 years, the goal is to have that speak with my tech and have basically the design service designers build that house up, and then it speaks with my tech, and all of a sudden, boom, that building is being built in front of our eyes. We get it already modeled, and then we just have to apply the categories, really.
Question for you on that, even beyond, before all of that happens, right, all those technological advances, when we do a Drexel drawing plan today, our designers are trained in structural and how the house is put together. It takes longer when we don't have a Drexel drawing plan, because those houses don't always work.
And
not
exactly.
Not every residential designer that's out there understands structure.
Let's play man hours. So do we think it's 20% longer?
With their back and forth?
On average. 50% longer?
Probably close to 50.
Right. So we're taking 30 man hours to 50, 8 man hours, people hours, right? 50 people hours times 50. And that's $2,500.
Even get away from the people hours, the delay it causes. Yeah. The hours might be the same, but going back and forth and getting answer where there's not actual time there, but there's days there. So to get the bid back faster, the hours could be the same. It just delays everything. So we've got the Drexel design services are just better, and they just flow through faster because they're trained to understand structure and how a house is built.
The house is better prepared to be designed. Correct. Please, builders, please, people, use our design services. We're ready to go. We're set up that the whole project's going to flow faster, better, faster, stronger. I this is not against any other designers, but we see that here daily. It really is Friday fish fry. You're going to come in and you're waiting an hour. It could be an hour and a half to 2 hours if it's not our plans. In fact, we may go to, at some point, maybe we do go to that. It is a longer lead time if it is not our design services.
It literally is.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we don't say that. We jumble it all together, but it literally is.
Yeah. It literally is.
It takes longer to do a non-Drexel drawing. I mean, there's a couple of designers maybe out there that are pretty good, but we know for sure.
Right, and we can input into our software quicker.
Right.
Well, that's kicker.
That's another thing.
That's the cherry on the old sundae.
You know that when you're opening a Drexel drawn plan, if it's a two-story house, you know that it's structurally going to stack. You're not just having a house that's floating there.
It's just funny since I did this for a few weeks, what you call one of our virtual builders and say, hey, I got this one. How long do you think it's going to take? Is it Drexel drawn? You can just hear the smile in their voice because it's so much easier and quicker, and it's going to be accurate, right? That is a big deal.
That's a big deal. It's a huge thing.
We never did 78, like famous 78s. This is podcast 78. Sorry to get us off track, but that's my favorite part.
They just came on to goof around. I'm like super in the MLBs. All right, goof around period, Marcus. So famous 78s.
Ross Verba.
That's all he really wanted to say. He had no other ones.
Who do you got? That's going to be a 78 NBA player.
Leon Lett.
Leon Lett, yes.
Leon Lett.
Good
that
call.
Is nice.
Great call. Okay, we can move on. We can go back.
No, Everett was dying to come on your talk about 5 a.m. Wednesday morning basketball. We're going to have that talk right now. It's March Madness. Yesterday I had Chad and Casey on episode 77. Go watch that about March Madness and all things high school Wisconsin sports, basketball. And we missed it. We didn't talk about Tony Mandrich yesterday or Sean Bradley.
He was 76, I thought.
Manute
Bol was 77.
Yes, he was, because he was 77.
Mirsan, yes, good call.
And Luka.
You're right. Wow,
we really balled on 77 yesterday. That was brutal.
Well, Chad was so into it.
I've never seen anybody with two pages of notes, and I'm like, He's got stuff to say.
He came in with the notes or wrote them during the
game? He came in with the notes. I believe, I actually believe he watched the game, the state boys games and took notes this year. He was that into it.
Cool.
So that was kind of fun. But anyways, so Holy Trinity in Kewaskum built a gym that I was a big part of, helping that out about 5 years ago. That little school never had a gym. We had to rent a public school. And when we opened the gym, we started 5 a.m. Wednesday basketball. Anybody could show up. It was first time was free, $2 for anybody after that. High schoolers and kids play for free. There's a Ross Verba. First round pick.
Ooh, 10 bucks for that card.
First round pick.
Yeah, that was after the Super Bowl.
Right? He was
a rookie in the second Super Bowl.
Yeah, stupid Ross Verba and John Michaels.
Like John Michaels is terrible.
It's like when you
Verba was okay.
It's like when you win a Super Bowl, you just punked on your draft picks. You're just spoiled.
You think
just,
it's a luxury pick. So you don't put a lot of time and effort into it.
We can use another left tackle.
Another 77 we missed.
John Michaels.
Yeah, great idea. Get John Michaels.
Whatever was
Tootie
Robbins.
See, 96 first round.
Look up
exactly.
Tootie Robbins. 76 or 78. He might have been a 70. It's T-O-O-T-I-E.
Yeah, 63 and 73. Switch numbers back when it wasn't
East Carolina,
switch.
Draft, Packers 92 to 93. That was like Favre.
Round four, pick 90.
73.
Go Pirates.
Yep. Remember Jeff Blake from the Bengals? He was East Carolina.
Really?
Yep.
Shout out
he was a Pirate. Shout out Jeff Blake.
Okay, so anyways, back to Wednesday 5 a.m. Right, so we start Wednesday 5 a.m. It's $2. Everett, you've been coming for how many years, do you think?
Oh, boy.
You're not an OG.
No, probably close to 2 years.
Andy, were you an OG? Mm-hmm. I don't think you were an OG.
No, you guys are playing well before.
We've been doing it entire 5 years. We have, I don't believe, unless we were, unless there's a school event going, I don't think we ever missed a week in 5 years. And we've always had enough to play. I think there's a couple times. I also said if we had less than six, I'd buy everybody breakfast. Which we did once.
Twice. Once was during the pandemic and no restaurants were open. So
yeah. Right. And now restaurants haven't reopened that early.
Yeah.
Post-pandemic, so now it's not a thing. But we have never done that again. But that was always a thing. We even played, we're probably one of the only places in the country we even played during the two-week lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually really fun to just sneak in there at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And when the playgrounds were closed and everything, we were still playing ball. So we kept that tradition alive. These guys have been a big part of it for the last 2 years. Andy comes quite a bit. Everett, what's your perspective on it?
I think it's great. I get to come in at 5 a.m.
What's the culture like, right? Yeah, explain the whole thing.
It's just fun. I get to come in and lock down Joel. I mean, first and foremost. But it's the culture's
fun. You
don't
even guard me anymore. We got a lot of bigs.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to Rexy.
Yeah, what's up, Rexy?
Plays like Shaq. Like a
no, he's the
like
Joker.
A Celtic.
He's the
Joker. Oh, yeah, you're right. Kind of like that point guard.
Yep, Jokic.
Or foreigner. I don't know. Take your pick.
But, no, the culture's fun. It's kind of like 12 o'clock hoops at the Y. Just
for non-hoopsters, what does that mean? Like, explain what the basketball pickup game culture is like.
You can just kind of come in and be any skill level and have a good time. I mean, ask Tim Peck.
Whoa.
Shots fired. No,
that
I'm just kidding,
fired.
Tim.
Wow. Paul Tim. Rice, we miss you, Paul.
Paul,
shout out.
Tim shut me down once or twice here, but mm-hmm. No, it's a great time.
And we've had people come and go. Shout out to Jason Strobel. Paul Rice, and we've had
Todd Flitter, the wrestler.
Todd Flitter,
wrestlers
yes.
come,
and they come for weeks and weeks, and they religiously come, and then they Jason Strobel just never come
Todd
again.
Todd Carlton,
Adam Beck,
Chad Cook used to come, right?
Chad has never come. He's fat dad. We challenged Chad, fat dad.
He came one time and he got hurt in the first game and never played again.
That was Ryan Armline, I believe.
Oh, it was Arms. Never mind. All your friends I can't keep straight.
Yeah. They have nothing to like, but yes, you're right. Ryan, shout out to Ryan Armline. He did show up in full-leg sweatpants, which is actually probably why he got hurt. That's a bad move.
What's the culture like to you?
What's it like how would you explain to somebody that has no idea what we're talking about?
Everett did a good job. Everybody just comes and shows up and you just play ball. You don't, there's not a lot, there's a little bit of trash talk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jokes. But it's competitive and can be intense at times depending on what the game is like and who's there. So it's a great mix of, if you like basketball and you just like competing in general and miss being between the lines. Yeah. It kind of fulfills that need for me.
So Everett, I'll say it this way. People always like to get to know Joel, right? Like there's some something about that shtick, I think, or whatever. Just don't know. People don't know Joel, right? I'm kind of quirky and weird. So what's it like when he showed up and you played with Joel? Well, and what how am I on the court? What did you expect? What did you expect? What was the reality of it?
Well, first time I came, I was like, well, do I block Joel? Do I let Joel shoot? How do I?
Well, yeah, you're right? You know, it's coming to a new party. You know, I mean, it's coming to a new gym, or it's coming to a new environment, it's coming to a new social environment. So you just want to fit in, but yeah, you got to kind of bring it so you just don't get lost, right?
Right. You got to kind of prove yourself a little
nervous,
bit.
Yeah, right.
And show that, you can play a little bit, but you don't want to be like, oh man, that guy's trying really hard.
Don't be the try hard.
Yeah.
Shout out to Marcus Miniman.
Oh man.
He showed up 1 week and just balled.
We asked him not to come back.
That's not true.
You said all different skill levels. That's like, you play too much, Marcus. Shout out, Marcus. What's up?
Too young, too good.
Yeah.
Too much.
It's an age thing mainly.
Whatever. Okay, so anyways.
But it's just great. You get your cardio in.
Playing with Joel first time.
I didn't know what to expect.
I don't look like a ball player really traditionally.
No, and all of a sudden you start shooting Steph Curry threes, and you don't guard out there. I wasn't guarding you out there, and all of a sudden you hit one, and you're like, what the heck? And not to the point now where I try to lock you up, and there's times where I'm just this close to blocking it, and you get the ball off so fast that I don't know. Sometimes I don't know how you do it.
Just say he doesn't pass.
Yeah, that too. Shout out Joel. He doesn't pass. But
were you surprised how competitive I was?
Yeah. And there's some trash talk there too, which I like, that I didn't expect. So it's.
I'm pretty raw.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it.
Yeah. It's a real deal. I mean, you come to play, and as well as
I'm not bringing the trash talk.
Yeah, and it's just
especially with the young kids.
Yeah.
Well, I know them the best.
Yeah. You've coached a lot of them.
I mean, to that point, you got to play the card too. Where if someone does shut you down and they're younger than you, you play that card of like, hey, you're 20 years younger, you should shut me down. But then if you're torching them, then it's like you're 20 years you're 20 years old and you can't guard me.
Say the same thing with different inflection. Yes.
Oh yeah. For me it's perfect, right? Because if I light you up, I'm 50, bro. Yeah. Like if I just don't have a good day and I suck, I'm like, dude, I'm 50. Like, who cares? God, congratulations.
It's like playing Madden and taking the worst team.
Yeah.
And if you win, you just rub it like, dude, you lost the Cardinals. Yeah. And then if you lose, you're like, dude, I had the Cardinals. Yeah.
So how's Andy on the court?
Andy's kind of like, boy, who would I compare him to? Maybe like a Tim Duncan, kind of like.
Old Dirk.
Yeah.
Duncan is hilarious.
Duncan, I mean, fundamentally.
The big just, fundamental.
Yeah.
Oh, what a compliment for Andy. This is just.
I love Tim Duncan.
Oh. Yeah.
Keith Badmore, shout out. Second time on the podcast.
So suck up. Such a suck up.
This was scripted beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was the first thing that came to my mind.
I was hoping you would say Arvydas Sabonis. That's who I model my game after.
Maybe like a. I think Joel's kind of like a Mike Miller. Run up and down the court, get to the corner, hit the three.
Don't play defense.
Talk a lot
of
smack.
Yeah.
Just needs a couple tats.
Florida Gator. Yep. Doesn't look like a basketball player.
I do have some good passes, though.
You do, yeah.
I'll give it to you.
So, yeah.
Oh, hell
when I'm,
yeah.
When I'm on Joel's team, yes, he does pass good.
You've gotten better. Some of them are rocket balls from 3 feet away that are really hard to handle.
It's not my fault. That's your fault.
Well, I handle them. I just like there's other people with softer touches that kind of can lead a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Catch them.
I don't blame you. You didn't pass your entire youth life. You didn't start passing until you were 42, so I don't blame you at all. Like it was a learned skill when you were older.
The truth be told, the only reason I started to pass because I'm not as good a shooter as I used to be.
Fair enough.
There was definitely 25 years of my career life that I thought, if I saw a guy, if I was triple teamed and you were wide open, I was still a better chance of me making the shot than you making it wide open.
That's what I'm saying.
And Joel is still, to this day, shooting.
I applaud the growth.
The real question is, what is Eric Kane's game like?
Three ball, low D.
Terrible rebounder, terrible defender.
Who would you
decent
compare him
shot,
to?
Though. Decent
good
shot.
Good shooter.
Yeah.
Great jump stop.
Like the ninth guy in your high school team.
Yeah.
Noon baller.
Who'd
good at horse.
Who would you compare my game to?
You?
Man. I'm trying to think here.
John Henson?
Who is that the dude? Who was the guy that Buck strapped in that could dunk?
Oh, shoot.
Wake Forest guy? Who was like the 11th overall?
Darvin Ham? Texas
no,
Tech?
He's like a white guy. He's like maybe Wake Forest.
Oh, West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Oh, Joe Alexander.
Joe Alexander.
Can we bring a picture up?
Yeah, Joe Alexander.
Yeah,
that'll be highlights.
Looks for sure. Marcus Hayes.
I mean, he was very good. Oh, there he is. Smoking Joe.
Look at his face on this one. He's like, yeah, whatever.
You put like Bucks on there though, because like this is like
prison league.
Yeah, like, he went dark. I mean, he went like Euro or something. Can we put up Joe Alexander Bucks?
Steve,
not even like Joe Alexander highlights.
You know who you play like is Kevin McHale. You've got that high turnaround. Yeah,
there we 80s. Go. It's like the 10th overall pick.
I got that Kobe jump.
Yeah, like you're some like Joe Alexander. That's,
yeah,
little bit surprising, athletic. Little worse from the outside than anybody would have hoped for. Not a great ball handler. Some token defense.
Tall enough to get rebounds.
Probably picked way too early in a pickup game. You know, you got the body, you got the look. Yeah. Like Joe Alexander in a pickup game probably gets picked up first overall, and then he's just shit.
They're like, whoa.
Look at that. 88-11? What the hell? What pick was he?
11, I think.
Yep. And then you wore 11? Like, I almost thought I just douchebag. Wait, no. Eight. Shout out to Joe.
Eight
overall.
Bring up the whole draft.
Oh, first ever born Taiwanese born NBA player. Who knew? Eight overall. What an all time bust.
Well, he's a little more.
That was my draft class.
Oh, he's 36.
He was a little my.
Yeah, who could have we had, huh?
That's Caron Butler year.
Derek Rose year.
Oh.
OJ Mayo.
That's a good
three.
That's a
Lopez
good
brothers, Brooke and Robin.
Russell Westbrook and Kay Lover still in the league.
Anthony Randolph.
Eric Gordon.
Going to be good. Roy Hibbert from Georgetown.
Brooke Lopez at 10.
JaVale McGee. That's who you play like.
Robin Lopez. JaVale McGee?
Yeah. You'll make a three every once in a while.
Why were Robin and Brooke Lopez in the same draft?
Good rebounder.
They're twins. Identical twins.
What? Is that real?
Yeah, Stanford. Hibbert, they beat Marquette in the Sweet 16 that year.
They're identical twins?
Yeah.
Then why is Brooke better?
It's just twins, twin life, dude.
George Batum, George Hill.
DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan.
Mario Chalmers, that was a good draft.
No, it wasn't. Go back to like the 20s.
George Hill?
Who did we even miss? Roy Hibbert?
Yeah.
He had like
Indiana.
A half.
Look at other drafts. There's a lot of people that actually played for a long time, right?
There's a lot of good. Courtney Lee.
There's a lot of horrible people. Costa Kufis.
Spites played for a while.
Serge Ibaka, George Hill.
Both Lopez's are still in the league. That's 15 years
Go
ago.
Go back down lower, though. Like around that. 8 spot, DJ August.
DJ Augustin, I thought he was going to be
good. Jared Bayless? Who's before Joe Alexander? Who did we miss out on?
Eric Gordon was good.
Gallinari.
Does he still play? Kevin Love? Russell Westbrook?
OJ Mayo?
Michael Beasley was the stuff for a while, man.
Look how many guys in that list have been Bucks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mayo, Bayless, Augustine, Brooke, Robin.
Is that just a Serge
Ibaka? Beasley was, too. Beasley was for a little while.
Yeah. Luke.
Patrick Ewing Jr.
Gordon Dragic.
Oh, Dragic at 45.
Good draft.
Absolute goat.
Good draft.
Joe Crawford.
It wasn't a good draft. You're picking and choosing guys. It's not a good draft.
I think it was. I think if you go total
decent.
Seasons played.
Okay, thanks for coming on, guys. We're going to get to the billboard question right now. So we do the famous billboard question, all-timer. You got one big giant billboard. What does it say on it and why?
Yeah, I've thought about this one for a while now.
We've rescheduled your podcast for like 6 months. So
like a year. Like,
yeah, a year.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's just kind of a nod to who I am. If I would have a billboard, it would probably say Bucks in six. Reason being is because you got to lose two to win in six. Much like in life, sometimes you fail. But all it takes is, you know, maybe that next game or that next door that's open to really seal the deal on a championship, and the fact that the Bucks did win in six. I mean, shout out to the Milwaukee Bucks. So.
Wow, fall seven, rise eight. We just did that yesterday. Yep. So Bucks in six. That's good. I like it.
I saw this on Twitter. This is funny. You just said that. I saw this on Twitter. Someone was making fun of that saying because they're like, if I didn't fall eight, I can't get up eight. Like they were really analytically breaking down fall seven, rise eight. If you only fall seven times, you'll get up seven times.
Unless you started.
Yeah, lay down. Down.
We had to start laying down. We had to start laying down.
He's like, why would I get up? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I got to get up eight times. I only fell seven.
Well, you could have actually. Well, if you would have fell seven, you just count the first time you're down.
Still. Unless you start laying down.
Yeah, and
you
get up. Yeah. Down. That's fair. That's your billboard?
But my billboard is probably just laugh. You could, like, it doesn't matter the situation. This is just who I am in general, right? The whole fall seven rising. I think that's funny. Just, you could laugh, literally laugh.
So
at
one
anything.
Word, laugh.
Laugh. Just laugh. It's good for you. It's healthy. People that laugh more live longer. People that laugh more are fun to be around. People that laugh more just enjoy life and don't really get stressed out a lot. Which, who wants to be around someone who doesn't laugh and is stressed out a lot, right? Just laugh.
Well, can you just Google quick? Average number of time kids laugh versus adults. Or children's laughs versus adults, like in a day. Yeah, that's just like the saddest number. But there you go. So the average adult laughs 17 times a day, while a child laughs 300 times a day.
I didn't know that.
Wow. Even if that's some Google bullshit, that is crazy. Because again, I think we just internalize everything and we get serious about life and you know, be more like a kid. All right, cool. Thanks for coming on. Love you guys. Appreciate it. Bucks and Six.
Bucks and
Go
Six.
Laugh.
Bucks and Six.
Virtual builders, come and apply. Come work for us. Let's change the industry. Peace.